This is Under Load, the Sunday edition of the Upward Arc. I'm Andre, I'm a physician, and this is the edition for Sunday, the 16th of August, 2026. A quick note before we start. What you're about to hear is the written newsletter, adjusted a little for the spoken word. Some of the numbers are rounded, and I've left the citations out because nobody wants to hear me read reference numbers aloud. Every study I mention is fully referenced in the written edition. You'll find it at andrehieg.com. Today, five phases of being completely certain about fat, and what happened when a man at a dinner table asked me whether his food was safe to eat. I started by adding the butter. I cut 2 tablespoons from the block and dropped them into the blender with my coffee. The blender was so loud for 30 seconds that I closed the kitchen door. What came out was a pale brown drink with a foamy, shiny layer that caught the morning light. I drank it at the counter before anyone else woke up. And I felt great about it. I have both a medical and a dental degree. Even so, I ended up drinking butter for breakfast after hearing someone on a podcast explain the science. It made sense to me at the time. These things always seem to make sense at first. That's the real problem. My butter phase lasted about 2 years. Then I switched to MCT oil, which cost almost as much as the whiskey on the shelf. After that came coconut oil, then ghee, which I thought was an upgrade. Now I use olive oil. Each choice felt reasonable at the time. Each phase had its own expert, a scientific reason, and a type of fat to avoid. The latest trend has the most talked about villain so far. Before all of this, there was a hallway. After 3 training sessions in 1 day, we would sit on the floor outside our rooms, leaning against the wall. This was the youth national team. We shared rooms along a long hallway lined with doors. You could recognize another wrestler from across a room without either of you saying anything. It was the ears that gave us away. In May, Robert Saleh, in his first year coaching the Tennessee Titans, told reporters that removing every seed oil from the facility was one of the first changes he made, part of an overhaul of how the team eats. Canola and soybean oil, out of an NFL building. Lately, more executives have asked me about seed oils than ever before, so I read everything on the topic, both sides, including the arguments I expected to disagree with. Let me start with the part the critics get right. Paul Saladino is one of the most followed voices arguing that seed oils are doing serious damage. He's a physician. And he writes, on his own site, that we store these polyunsaturated fats in our cell membranes and our mitochondrial membranes. He's correct about that. Linoleic acid is the main omega-6 fat in conventional sunflower, corn, soybean, and canola oils. It does get built into your cell membranes and your body fat. A review of 37 studies found that its share of American body fat rose from about 9% in 1959 to about 22% in 2008. That same review estimated it takes roughly 2 years for half of it to turn over. Polyunsaturated fats do oxidize more readily than saturated fats. And in a laboratory study, peroxidized linoleic acid damaged isolated DNA. Now, where does the oil in your diet actually come from? In the most recent American Dietary Survey, foods counted as fats supplied somewhere between 8 and 13% of people's linoleic acid. Grains supplied 22 to 35%, meat 15 to 25%. Those are categories of reported food, so oil baked into a loaf of bread still gets counted as grain. The survey can't isolate what came out of a bottle. The bottle is the visible part of an exposure that spread across a lot of different foods. Each of my phases started with a solid scientific explanation. Medium-chain fats are processed differently. Clarified butter does remove the milk solids. So, now I always ask a practical question, /. Has anyone actually measured what happens to the people who eat this? someone decided to test it. Saladino's sharpest claim is about DNA. In his words, excess linoleic acid makes fat cells release free fats, and those free fats induce insulin resistance in the muscles, causing inflammation and DNA damage. In 2003, the same research group went looking in people. 30 volunteers across three arms for 6 weeks. One group took 15 grams of linoleic acid a day against a control group taking palmitic acid. They measured oxidative DNA damage in white blood cells. In the linoleic acid group, the damage rose 13% from where it started, and it finished 23% below the control group. Neither of those differences was statistically significant. So, 10 people per group, 6 weeks, one marker, measured in white blood cells rather than in muscle, which is where Saladino's theory actually runs. Given those limits, the study found no evidence that extra linoleic acid increased oxidative DNA damage. But the population data point the same way. Among more than 85,000 UK biobank adults followed for almost 13 years, the top fifth for omega-6 in the blood had 23% lower death from any cause than the bottom fifth. That study also challenged an argument I believed for a year. The group with the highest omega-6 to omega-3 ratio did have 26% higher mortality. But both omega-6 and omega-3 were linked to lower mortality on their own, and the link was stronger for omega-3. The authors thought the ratio result was probably being driven by the omega-3 side. The randomized trials don't show much either way. Across 19 studies and about 6,500 adults followed anywhere from 1 to 8 years, increasing omega-6 made little or no difference to deaths or heart problems overall. It did lower total cholesterol. It might have reduced heart attacks, but the evidence for that one is weak. My own ratio came back at 3.6, which the experts call good. But that number couldn't tell me whether I was getting enough of either fatty acid. I'd been taking the wrong part of my fish oil for 10 years. Now, the two trials that should trouble me. Two randomized trials sit at the heart of the serious case against seed oils, and anyone who thinks this debate is settled should take a close look at both. The first is the Minnesota Coronary Experiment. It randomized more than 9,000 people across six mental hospitals and a nursing home between 1968 and 1973. The intervention replaced saturated fat with corn oil. Cholesterol fell almost 14% among the participants who were measured again a year or more later. There was no benefit to survival. People kept leaving the institutions, which ended their follow-up. And the diet pushed linoleic acid to more than 13% of calories. That's roughly double what people in the United States typically eat. The second one is harder. The Sydney Diet Heart Study. It randomized 458 men, 221 of them onto safflower oil and safflower margarine, and 237 onto their usual diet. 86% of them had already had a heart attack, on average about 11 weeks earlier. More of the intervention group died, 17.6% against 11.8%. I wish I could tell you the margarine explains it. Margarine back then did contain trans fats, and the exact makeup of this one was never measured. But the study's own authors looked at that and ruled it out. The intervention also removed the usual margarines and shortenings, which were the main sources of trans fat at the time. So trans fat intake probably went down, not up. They judged it unlikely to explain the result. What does limit that trial is narrower? These were men who'd recently had heart attacks. Linoleic acid was pushed to about 15% of their energy. Several parts of the diet changed at the same time, and the original protocol couldn't be recovered. One trial, in sick men, at intakes far above normal. Still, it matters. So why does the evidence disagree with itself? My training taught me to look at each study and think about the kind of error it can make. The fatty acids in your blood depend on your diet, and also on your metabolism. The UK Biobank offers adjusted for a lot of known differences between people. They still couldn't rule out the factors they'd missed or measured poorly, and they sampled blood once at the very start. Randomizing fixes that problem. But Cochrane rated most of the clinical evidence low or very low certainty because of bias and imprecision. Put it all together and you're left with two gaps. The UK Biobank can't prove cause and effect, and the trials only give you rough estimates for the outcomes people actually care about. Nobody has run a large, long-term trial at the amounts people really eat. Now let me go back to that hallway. Nobody planned to talk that night. My roommate started talking about cutting weight, and soon everyone joined in. The injuries, the long hours indoors, the smell that never leaves a gym bag. We said things to each other that we would never have said to a coach. Someone joked that our parents should be prosecuted for signing us up. We all laughed, and we half meant it, and not one of us would have quit. That's what the ears meant. When you saw another guy across a room, you knew he'd been through the same things you had, and you didn't have to say a word. I stopped wrestling in my mid-20s after my shoulder gave out for the last time. There was no final match, no big decision, just a scan and a surgeon giving me practical advice. The training hall kept going every night without me. Nobody was unkind about it. What I wasn't prepared for was how a thing that had shaped my whole life could simply end, everyone else carrying on, me standing outside. Then there was nothing. Nutrition groups offer you the same sense of belonging, but without the physical cost. A jar on the counter shows everyone which side you're on, and nobody has to look at your ears. That's why the debate never ends. Each position gives you a group identity along with a health rule. And it's much harder to let go of the identity than it is to let go of the rule. I went through that 5 times myself, and I went through all 5 of them alone, standing at a kitchen counter before anyone else was awake, blending butter into my coffee, feeling like I was part of something. So, what do I actually keep in the kitchen? At a work dinner a few weeks ago, a man sitting 2 seats away put down his fork and turned to me. He said, "Andre, what do you think this was cooked in? Should I worry if it's seed oils?" He wanted to know if his dinner was safe, and he was asking the doctor at the table. The practical answer is simpler than the debate suggests. In the largest relevant study I could find, more than 220,000 American health professionals were followed for up to 33 years. Replacing 10 grams of butter a day with plant oil was linked to a 17% lower risk of death. That was an observational study, and the swap was modeled, not actually done. 2 of my own phases don't look so good. Coconut oil raises LDL cholesterol by about 10 milligrams per deciliter compared with other vegetable oils. And none of those studies measured heart attacks or deaths. Turning butter into ghee removes the water and the milk solids. So gram for gram, ghee actually has more saturated fat. As a percentage of total fat, butter and ghee are only a few points apart. I had swapped one for a more concentrated version of the same thing. And I thought I was being clever. Olive oil, which is what I use now, compares well against butter. But in a study of more than 90,000 people, it didn't show a significant advantage over other vegetable oils. So here's what I told him. No, don't worry about it. Eat your dinner. The longer answer is that the bottle is just a distraction. And the scientific explanation is the thing that convinces you. I went through 5 versions of this over 15 years, and every single one of them was biochemically accurate. This is the activate part of the upward ARC, the part about what you put into your body. It's also where the marketing is strongest and where the incentives are hardest to spot. In one study, 20 people in a metabolic ward ate about 500 calories a day more on an ultra-processed diet than on an unprocessed one. They gained about a kilo in 2 weeks. That trial didn't test seed oil, and it couldn't say which specific difference caused the result. What it showed was that the overall pattern of the food changed how much of it people ate. So, to answer his question directly, at the amounts people usually eat, there is no human evidence that seed oils are especially harmful. Replacing butter and other saturated fats with plant oils lowers cholesterol, and the studies link that swap to living longer. Whether deliberately adding more omega-6 affects your lifespan is still an open question. Try this today. Every error I went through added another rule. This list is about removing a few of them. 1. Don't treat the ratio as a final answer. In the UK Biobank data, both omega-6 and omega-3 were linked to lower mortality, and the authors thought the ratio was mostly being driven by omega-3. If you don't eat oily fish often, start there before you order another test. 2. Stop overthinking it and keep 2 bottles, extra virgin olive oil for everyday cooking and for finishing, refined canola or a high oleic oil for frying and roasting. The difference between those sensible choices is so small that the time you spend worrying about it costs you more than picking the wrong one. 3. Use frying oil once. Throw it out after cooking and keep the pan below the oil smoke point. I do that as a kitchen habit, not because of any proven health outcome. 4. Ask what would make someone change their mind. For me, on this, it would be a well-designed, independently funded trial at the amounts people actually eat. If I ever call a food poison, and I can't answer that question, just stop listening. Maybe I was just lucky. Throughout all 5 phases, my blood tests stayed normal. Maybe the type of fat mattered less than I believed. Maybe I was just lucky. I still keep butter in the fridge, and I use it in normal amounts. 5 times, an expert with a clear explanation convinced me before I checked the evidence myself. And 5 times, I changed my mind later. I don't regret making those changes. I still miss that hallway and my wrestling tribe. Stay healthy, Andre. 1 last thing. I told you my 5 errors. What was yours? The one you'd rather not admit to? Just reply to the email this came in and tell me. I read every message and I never share them. And if you know someone with strong opinions about oil who has never actually read a study on it, send this along. That's how this newsletter grows, and it's the only way I want it to. If someone forwarded this to you, you can get Underload, my Sunday edition, at andrehiek.com. That's A-N-D-R-E-H-E-E-G.com.